Hi, Rabbi, before Yakal. My pleasure to address you today in the Torah way, start the day the Torah way. My thanks again to Rabbi Rabson and all the people behind the scenes that have set up this wonderful apparatus. I'm sorry, I'm sitting right here. Okay. All right, I'm sorry. There's an interesting question I'd like to start off, a couple of questions. We find Avraham Avinu Megayres Hageirim, Solomon Megayres Hanoshim, Es HaNefesh HaShe'osu B'Cholam, the Pasuk says in last week's Sedra, and the Unkelis says Yishabidu D'Oraita, with Hanoshim that it will Meshavet the Torah, and must have had a lot of followers that left their homes, left their families. There were a lot of Mesiris Nefesh over there. Avraham Avinu wandered around, he didn't just stay in one place. So all these people, if they wanted to go in his way, obviously they left everything, they left home, family, and went with him. And there was no connections, there was no factors and telephones in those days. People just cut themselves off from what they used to be, from the whole life that they used to lead, and absolutely left everything, just went with him. So how is it we find in the upcoming Sedras, I exactly remember what the Rashi says, that all the Geirin that actually followed Avraham Avinu, they all left. When it came to Yitzchak Avinu, they all left him. Everybody went back home. If there was so much Mesiras Nefesh, why didn't they stay with him? Why didn't Yitzchak Avinu run after them to keep them or even make fresh ones? We don't see that Yitzchak Avinu went around doing Kiruv so much. So, where were they? Another very interesting question. These people obviously were very staunch supporters of Avraham Avinu, of the way of realizing the Borei Olam, the creator of the world, Torah Mitzvot. So why was Avraham Avinu crying for Yerush in last week's Sedra? When Yerush Damesek Eliezer, he said he doesn't have Yerush. If the Iker is, he has very strong Talmidim, staunch Talmidim that go in his ways, why do you have to have a Yerush? Everybody knows the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. What do we need more? Avraham Avinu was afraid for his money. I don't think that was when he said that he needed a Yerush. Damesek Eliezer was his Yerush. He said he doesn't have a proper Yerush. I don't think that he meant his money. Obviously he meant preaching the creator of the world. That's what obviously he meant. So why did he need it if he had so many Talmidim? We have to understand that Avraham Avinu's main aim in life wasn't to make Baal Shuvah. If it would have been, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have taken away from him, they wouldn't have left. By Akedah, you see that there was big Nisoyan that Yitzchak Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to bring him up on the Mizbeach and to have him slaughtered. That was a big Nisoyan. But we don't see that. Obviously, if it would have been his main aim in Yiddishkeit to make Baal Shuvah, then to make followers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they wouldn't have all disappeared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have allowed his main aim in life to disappear just like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu meant to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his normal day-to-day routine. Obviously when he met people who were faltering in their main hashkofe in life, obviously he would tell them that there was a creator in the world and you're going in faltering ways and in ways completely wrong, and there's a creator in the world, one creator, and all your idols are a lot of rubbish. Obviously he would tell them that, and through that people became connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he didn't, his main aim wasn't, he didn't get up in the morning and say, right, I'm going to catch, today I'm going to make it 50 people are going to catch on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That wasn't the way Avraham Avinu went around, that wasn't his hashkofe in life. He got up in the morning and he did all his avodas Hashem. Obviously when you meet someone who's completely off track, then from your normal self-discipline of having a right hashkofe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously you have to tell the guy, the fellow sitting opposite you, that there's something very wrong in the way you're behaving, and you have to realize that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. So I always tell people, I mean, a goy is not like that. The way Avraham Avinu referred to the goy that he made Baal Shuvah. Want to understand the first question? Then one of the questions which I asked: why did the Kaddish Baruch Hu, why did he cry to the Kaddish Baruch Hu for a Yerush? And why did they all leave? We have to understand the difference between a yid and a goy initially. I always tell our Talmidim, Baal Shuvah and Eretz Yisrael, when I explain to them what's the difference between a yid putting on tefillin and a goy putting on tefillin. So I give them a very good moshul of a person who buys a car. He has to learn how to drive, get his driving license. He doesn't have to know how the car works with all its latest technology. He has to have the switch to the key to the switch, turns it on, presses the accelerator, and off we go. He's off where he needs to. The same way, we, Ayid puts on film, he has ready the neshama in him, and he has all the different technology in him, and he just has to switch the switch on. He has to know how to drive, he has to know the law, he has to know how not to drive also. And obviously he just turns the key on, presses the accelerator, and he's off. The tefillin takes him where all the influences of the tefillin, on the davening, on the learning which he learned, they all take him to the lofty influences which are the periyosa of all these wonderful mitzvahs. A goy put on tefillin all day, nothing will happen. He's sitting in the car, but he doesn't have that key to that switch. That's the way to understand the chilik between a yid and a goy. So Avraham Avinu managed to make these baal shuvahs through midas achesed, through midas ahava, through his day to day. What was his main avoda? Avraham Avinu's main avoda was hakhnasas orchim, seeing that people have, not thinking just of themselves, thinking of others. And people realized it's a new way in life, and they realized that He made them realize that it was because the Baruch Hu created that the world is midas achesed. Through realizing midas achesed alone, people can become like Baal Shuvah. One of the interesting tricks, ideas, that of making Baal Shuvah in Eretz Yisrael is just to come along with the telephone directory of all the gemachim that there are in Yishlain, in Beit Shemesh. There's gemachim for bottles of babies, for diapers, for anything and everything which a person can ever think of. There's all gemachim about such a big list of pages of gemachim, what they are. And you just saw one of these fryer hevra, how many gemachim, how we from even think of others, that himself is a big push to make them realize that there's a good advice on the world, there's a prayer, there's mitzvahs. So all these people recognize the Kaddish Baruch Hu through midas achesed, midas ahava. When it came to Yitzchak Avinu, he was a different breed. Yiras Hashem, midas hagvura, he would daven, he would think highly. Obviously, he was also doing midas hachesed, but his main idea in life, that was his midah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled in him. That was the way which he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was midas ha'ava, midas ha'yira, midas hagvura, midas ha'pachad. They weren't built for that. They all left. So the question is, when we make Baal Shuvah, do we also have to instill in them the idea that there's, when there are hardships in the world, you also have to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you know, the night's not so simple, not just when everything's going good, you have to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, there's a lot of initiations a person has to go to, everybody goes through certain initiations in the world. Do we have to straight away, in order that they shouldn't run away, like all these people disappeared, like Avraham Avinu, do we have to straight away instill in those traits? Answer is no. There's a difference between making Geirim and making Baal Shuvah. You make Baal Shuvah, they have already all the switch to the key. The key to the switch. all Yidden already have in them the key to the switch. So first of all, being the caravan with a lot of love, with a lot of care, show them that you care about them, ask them how they're doing in exams, ask them how they're doing at home, show that you care with them in their physical needs, like Avraham Avinu did. Get down to their level of thinking, of behavior, and when they see that you ask them these questions and you really care about them in their physical needs, then you can start talking to them about Torah, about mitzvahs. They get to realize what the Yid is. The idea of Gvura, of Pachat, of Yira, you can leave for later. Not so by Gerim. When Naomi, when Orpah wanted to become a Gerim, Naomi shoved her away. Wasn't the kind of at all. Told her all the horrible things about Gehenna. No, not for you. Go back to your good life. You live a good life where you live. You know, Tisrael is hard. I'm going back to Tisrael. There's a famine there. It's hard life. See, and that's what you have to do. When a guy wants to become a guy, you have to really tell him all the midas adgvura things, all the midas adpacha things, all about nisyonis in life. You have to get. And that's why Yitzchak Avinu didn't run after all these people. Because Avraham Avinu, when he ran after all these people, neither did Avraham Avinu run after these people, as we said before. But because his whole life was a piece of chesed, of gevura, of chesed, of ahava, then automatically people clung to him. And they left everything. He didn't have to do much explaining. His whole behavior in life was that way that people clung to him. So if you're asking me, what am I doing here preaching about Baal Shuvah? Okay, it's not, you know, you have to just do your job and people will come. Why do you have to run off to Baal Shuvah? As we said, with Yidin it's different. Yidin are the sons of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We all have a neshama in us. Knesset Yisrael is called Ages Chayil Nimtza, is called Kevayochel, the wife of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After a wife, a man has to look for the Aveda for his wife, he has to go and search for her. So in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu searches for Knesset Yisrael, for his lost wife, lost children. And therefore, it is our job to actually go and run after. As the Zohar Kaddish says, you have to go and run after Rishoyim to bring them back to Kaddish Baruch Hu. So it's different. Obviously, even with the Baal Shuvah, you have to very softly tell them that there are different nisyonos in life. And you have to have a lot of Siyata D'Shemayim, a lot of Chochmah, how to be mekarev them in different ways. You all know that a lot of Yidden, when you want to tell them to start keeping Shabbos, start putting Selenot, they tell you, don't worry, I'm a Jewish harp. So I don't go for the mitzvah, I don't keep the mitzvah. So, you believe, I believe. We're all good friends. We're all part of Am Yisrael. But, Selen I leave for you and Shabbos I leave for you. I'm a Jewish harp. What's the answer? I always tell them the story when I first came to the Shemesh 13 years ago. What was the fashion? The very beginning of the Shemesh. And they were building then the whole of the Shemesh, and the water wasn't very pleasant to drink. It wasn't very purified. It wasn't dangerous, but there were enough salesmen going around telling us that the water was dangerous. Salesmen of these water purification systems. They used to come around. We should buy the whole apparatus because there's germs and there's. So a fellow comes into my house one day, and as they start preaching away, a lot of metals, a lot of germs, a lot of dirt, and different experiments have been made in these waters, and there's a lot of hazards, can bring Leolenu, these different type of illnesses, and there's the University of Chicago and Boston and Oxford and Cambridge, and the professor this, that and the other, going on for about 10-15 minutes, and for you, Rabbi Cohn, 3,000 shekels, just for you. I said, I believe you. He said, you know, you touched my heart, but the money I haven't got. Just bought this apartment in the Chemish. and there's no money for 3,000 shekels, even 3,000 shekels. I'm sorry. Touch my heart, you're right, proofs and universities and everything else, I haven't got it. So start all over again. There's this and hazards and metals and dirt and germs, and I can see they're there to stay. He wants to finish the bargain. He wants to. I turn around to him and I says, my dear young man, who's a fry guy, came from Mishnah Tzion. I also have, I said to him, a very important purification system in my house. He says, no. So he perks up his eyes, what's all this, you know. From young man talking about purification system, I said, you should know, there's a lot of hazards in the world. There's Chilul Shabbos, there's Chazer Fleish, Taos Mishpacha problem, all very big hazards. We have a lot of proofs to that, you know. We have University Parat Yosef, University Mir, University Ponovich, Professor Moshe Rabbeinu, Professor Rambam, here you are, he said, all these proofs, so many nice forum chapter, you know, a lot of proofs about all that. You know, it's very, very dangerous hazard. And for you, for free. So he turns around to me and he says, I don't understand. I'm trying to sell you this very important product. We're building here the whole of the Shemesh, you know, the water is very contaminated. And what do you think, I'm a Chiloni? I believe. Ani ma'amin. Sacha kol ani ma'amin. Ani lo kacha. I'm not completely fried. And they said, listen to me. What I believe you and what you say, that's not enough for you. You wanted me, the bottom line, to invest. 3,000 shekels, 2,500 shekels. You wanted me to invest in what I believe. What about you? Where are you? You believe? Come on. There's Erechim, there's Seminarim, there's different ways in... You believe, right? So there you are. Go and study, go and think about it. There's Gan Eden, there's Gehenna. He was quite taken aback. I made a bit of deal when he did. He started asking questions. He came back later from Rishon LeZion when he was running around and the Shem was trying to sell his stuff. He popped into me, started asking the questions, and in the end he disappeared because it was from Rishon LeZion, but he came back, he asked questions. So when a person says, with a Jewish heart, you have to make him to understand that he shouldn't be contradicting himself. If he's a Jewish heart and really believes, then there's obviously consequences. So that's one of the ways that we matarev our brethren who come with such a taina. So we are actually commanded to try and see how we can be matarev our yidden. And there's lots of ways that people can.
You didn't answer the question, why you didn't escape them?
Why didn't?
Why did they go back to their old ways?
I did. Actually, I'll explain even more. Avraham Avinu was Makarev his Chevra. He, because of his behavior with Ava and Chesed, and good and so much loving kindness, the people clung to him. In that way, that was the way that they learned about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and expressed themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they, that was a yachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So when they were confronted by Midas HaYira, Midas HaGvur, Midas HaPachad, Yitzchak Avinu, they didn't understand all that. That was because they were going. In the beginning they were going. And going, that's the way, I wanted to actually explain a little bit more. Thanks for reminding me. Avraham Avinu asked for a Yorish. He asked for a Yorish. Why did he ask for a Yorish? After many followers. There's another question that people always ask. Who is the first Yid? Avraham Avinu. Why didn't Adam Rishon keep the Torah? Didn't Noach keep the Torah? Shem Ve'ivad Yeshiva. Plenty of Yeshiva Bochim. Why was Avraham Avinu the first Yid? How was it? How did they learn Torah and how did Avraham Avinu learn Torah? What's the difference? So it's like this. Before Avraham Avinu, anybody wanted to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu would cut himself off from any indulgence in Gashmias and would start behaving in lofty ways, in Ruchni Zikr ways, and there were even Goyim who actually became very clever in this way and actually were massive different ideas in Ruchniyat. They fell through because even later on, I'm trying to say, which the Rambam mentioned, different chachomim in the world that actually came to exalted heights. But if you realize the Kadosh Baruch Hu that way, then as soon as you fall through some yetzer hara, through some illness, through some way that you cannot exalt your mind in lofty ways, then you fall straight away through. Agav, how is it that when a person thinks of Kadosh Baruch Hu in that way, even a goy, he could in the olden days get to extremely high ways, because Kadosh Baruch Hu built the world through the Torah. Istakar b'raisa u'bara alma. So within the world, the ways of the Torah and the mitzvahs are within the world. They're inundated in the world. If a person wants to go deeper into how the world is created, he will find their Torah mitzvahs. And in a lot of seminars of the Arachim, was one of the ways they always bring proofs from the behavior of the world about kashrus, how you see from the bria, from the creation, that kashrus is a real thing, that orla is a real thing. A lot of proofs they have now that the Torah's emet through the creation. So these people, if a person would cut himself off from the horrors of the world, from the indulgence in different temptations, and think about the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's how Noach did it, that's how Shem Ve'eva did it, that Avraham Avinu wanted his own children. So these people, if they would think about the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they would be able to catch onto neshama, to Dargah's neshama, a higher Dargah of the soul. Avraham Avinu wanted that his children should be born with this key to the switch, as we said, in them, born in them from birth. And that's what a Yid is. A Yid is born with the neshama in him already. He doesn't have to cut himself from different temptations, and even if he doesn't understand what tefillin does to him and what davening does to him, he just turns the switch on and there you are. The mitzvah takes him to the lofty heights. It gets him the Olam Haba. It has its influences in the world above and in this world also, brings down the Shefa to all the different, where it needs, where it can. It all gets done automatically. So that's what Avraham Avinu wanted. He was afraid of what would be with these followers of his, that as soon as they had nisyonos, they would fall away. That's why he said, what's going to happen further? In this light, we can actually understand the Nisoyan of the Akedah, the way the Sfasemes explains it. Avraham Avinu, as we explain now, the biggest matana, the biggest gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu was what's called, in the way I explain it, the Oitzer HaNeshomet. The Oitzer HaNeshomet, meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu the right that all his Einik Lech, born from him, would be born with an Neshoma instilled in them. Instead of, like before, having to completely cut yourself off from different temptations and thinking aloft, catching the Neshoma from above. Yidden are born with the Neshoma in them. There we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking of Avraham Avinu from his goodwill to take this Oitzer HaNeshoma called Yitzchok Avinu and slaughter him up on the Mizbeach. If you can understand how much, the way I've explained it, how much Avraham Avinu longed for the right to have to children in Eilik Lech and a Klal Yisrael coming from him with automatic instilled neshamas in them, now Kadosh Baruch Hu is asking from his own goodwill to give it all up. That was the Nisoyan of the Akedah, explaining the explanation of Sfasemes. So, us being a chelek of Klal Yisrael, we really have to realize that Klal Yisrael doesn't finish, the borders of Klal Yisrael are not Golus Green, Hendon, the end of Meir Shorim, or Bnei Brak. The borders of Klal Yisrael are wherever there's a Yid in any part of the world, in any part of Eretz Yisrael which is neglected, far flung. That's where Klal Yisrael, our brethren, are, and it's our job to try and get them back to Yiddishkeit. When I came to Beit Shemesh, we actually thought of this. We saw that there were a lot of Yidden living in all the Moshavim around, the old Beit Shemesh and the Moshavim around. Yidden who went Zoicha to a Jewish education, they all got private schools over there, and who had lost their Jewish identity or were losing their Jewish identity, the founders of the Shemesh in all these places, they still are from Yidden. You see 78-year-old Yidden trudging to shul 3 times a day and keeping Shabbos and the rest. Second generation are half-baked and third generation are completely, mostly Machal Shabbos, or very much on the way to completely losing their Jewish identity. So we went around setting up Shiur Torah in all these places. We have now, Baruch Hashem, 100 Shiur Torah a week going on in all the Moshavim surrounding the Shemesh. And hundreds of families, and that way, coming back to Yiddishkeit. Sometimes you have a difficulty, different difficulties which we have, trying to get through to them. Sometimes they need money, you know, they are to come and think that we can give them money, give them different, reminds me in this week, etc., of the Haftarah this week is about Elisha and this Tzedekus who actually helped him very much, and well, then Haftarah she was in very great debt, and Elisha told her, bring all the empty kalim and start pouring shemen, and then sell off the shemen, and you'll be able to pay off all your debts. The story is told that someone came to the Chido. The Chido, he wanted to go and make money in different places, collect money, collector. He's not a letter of recommendation. So how do you do it? Went to the Chido and begged him again and again. The Chido saw it wasn't a big come from. What can you write on the? Who would have to write on the letter of Hanlotta that this fellow can learn, and you have to be support him and give him money. What can you write about this fellow? So he pushed him away. Anyway, he saw he couldn't push him away anymore. So in the end, he wrote him an Hanlotta. And this fellow went around collecting in a different town, till he came to a very clever Rav. He looked at the Hanlotta and he said, something funny about this Hanlotta. The Nusach is very interesting. What do you say in the Hanlotta? This fellow is a very prominent member of our congregation. And Ilu Hoya Chai Bimei Elisha Hoya Shemen Lo Nipsak. If he would have lived in the days of Elisha, then the Shemen would never have finished. So he looked at him, it's not a normal Amlata, not a normal Loshan. So he started comparing this guy, you know, this fellow, what he knows and what he can learn. So he wasn't his Amtfachim in the least. So however, he understood what the Chida wrote. This fellow was a big clearate, and that's what he wrote. That if he would have been in the days of Elisha, he was such a clearate that this woman, this almana would have been able to pour shemen for the rest of her life. The shemen would have never, hoya shemen lo nifta. The shemen would have been able to pour more and more and more and more. So anyway, you have to be able to, you know, to a tamren, they call it in Israel. To deal with these people in the right way, they shouldn't get used to thinking that we money givers and all that, and kiruv l'shem kiruv. Kiruv in the right way. Because we have to understand that geirim, there's no mitzvah to be mekarev. Yidden, there is a mitzvah to be mekarev because they're already our brethren. And that's the difference between why Avraham Avinu didn't do kiruv l'shem kiruv. We do have to do kiruv l'shem kiruv, we have to run after these people, and wish you Be'ez Hashem to have a tzlocha on your way, everyone what you need, bonachaya, mezoyne, health, happiness, prosperity and abundance for all of you. I'm sure be zoyche to be mekarev as many Yidden as possible. Thank you very much.